Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, we're going to see if we can't get somebody up here to sing a couple of songs for us. Whichever one of you want to come first, come on. Brother Bobby? All right, Brother Bobby, it's all yours.
Some glad morning when the life is old, I'll fly away to a home on God's Lesser Shore. I'll fly away, oh, I'll fly away, oh, glory, I'll fly away in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of life have grown, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars that flown, I'll fly away. Oh, in the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days are then, I'll fly away to a land where joy should never end. I'll fly away, oh, I'll fly away in the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away, oh, I'll fly away, oh, glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Can't sit and try where often may wonder why it should be those all a day long. While all others living about us, never most blessed, throwing the wrong. Father of long, we'll know all about it. Father of long, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother. We'll understand it all by and by. When death has come and taken our loved one, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. Then do we wonder why other prosper, living so wicked year after year. Father of long, we'll know all about it. Father of long, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Faithful to death is our loving master. A few more days till the road will be seen as nothing as we sweep through the beautiful gate. Father of long will know all about it. Father of long will understand why. Here of my brother living a sunshine will understand it all by and by. When we see Jesus come in the glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Father of long will know all about him. Father of long will understand why. Share of my brother living the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by.
So my great Lord, look in the world.
Oh Lord my God, when I am lost and wonder, considering all the world that man had made, I see the stars, I hear a roar of thunder, the power throughout the universe display. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great they are, how great they are. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great they are, how great they are. When through the woods and poorly glad I wander and hear the birds sing sweetly in the tree. When I look down from lofty mountain gathered and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great they are, how great they are. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great they are, how great they are. And when I think that God His Son's not sparing, sent Him to die and still can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great they are, how great they are. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great they are, how great they are. When Christ shall come with mountain maceration and take me home, what joy will fill my heart. nation and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. And sing myself, my Savior God, to thee. How great they are, how great they are. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great they are, how great they are.
It's a good one. What we have a time. When we get over yonder, oh, what we have a time. When we get over yonder, what we have a time. When we get over yonder, oh, what we have a time. We'll sing and shout and dance about when we get over yonder. We'll sing and shout and dance about when we get over yonder. Sing and shout and dance about when we get over yonder. Oh, what we have time. We'll see Jesus face to face when we get over yonder. Don't see Jesus face to face. We get over yonder. Don't see Jesus face to face. We get over yonder. Oh, what we have time. Oh, what we have time. When we get over yonder, oh, what we have a time. When we get over yonder, oh, what we have a time. When we get over yonder, oh, what we have a time.
Thank you, Sister Millie.
All right. We'll get into the service. I'm going to put you all to work. You know, the fifth chapter of James tells us, if any of us is sick, put off the elders of the church and let them know the long praise and prayer of faith. Prayer of faith shall save the sick. Okay. You come up here and leave this prayer for me. If you're going to be praying for me, all of these, if you're believing in healing, I want you to lay your hands on me. Say, I want to speak with this one. That is the one you are in the right way.
Father, thank you for this day. You kept it alive all these years. It was a great work to me. I'm really grateful. You just continue to heal you, bless you, spirit, and drive all these things. He is a faithful man. Continue to stand firm and strong. Get him off the bus. Get him off all these doctors, get him back in the last time. That great position to follow what's done, Father. Not only for his healing, but also for his healing. He worked here in this great frame of mind. All is all done in Jesus' name. Alright, good
done.
I was telling the church this morning, Kenny, he was online, so he heard. I think he heard that part of it. You were a little late getting there.
I had a lot of family problems this weekend, and I heard that part. I was like, yeah, amen, bro. I should have just stayed here.
No. But one of my members, Terry Coates, not been doing good either. We all need to keep him in prayer. But Terry sent me a letter. He's got stuff here because Terry was here in Kentucky for a while. He shared an apartment with Kenny in Irvington. And he got ready to go back. He put some stuff in storage. This has been almost 2 years, then. And we've been paying on this storage shed. Well, they took a notion then this month, like everybody else, to raise their rent. So we let him know that. Tried to find out if there was anyone down there that could come and get the stuff. But Saturday I got a letter from Terry. Terry told me to sell everything in the storage down there and give it to the church. He's also sold his toolbox for $1,000. Man's been paying on it. I don't know what's left over on it yet. I'll find out. He told me to get that for the church also.
Has God been working on you a lot lately?
I can't remember what all he does have down there. I know there's a vacuum cleaner. There's some other things in there. But I know the man has got about $36,000 worth of tools in that shed. They're all snap-on tools.
Well, they ain't cheap.
Of course, you ain't going to get $36,000 out of them by selling them. But what does come get, we do get out of them, we'll go to the church. That's Terry's wish. Now, we need this church growing. We all really need to be working hard for it. Everyone we meet, everyone we talk to. But don't let anyone keep you out of this church. It don't matter what they think. It's what the good Lord thinks. And as long as we let anyone or anything come between us and him, church is not going to grow. It's going to wind up closing. This morning, there was two of us here, me and Dennis. Kenny was just coming in. He was online with us. Now, we don't know who else might have heard us online. But all that was here was two, me and Dennis. We're going to have to go to work and get some more coming in here and get things moving for the good Lord. Because for one, we haven't got long. Not near as long as what mankind is wanting to believe. Before the Lord's going to be coming after his church. And if we miss that and we're left behind to go through that 7 years of something that's worse than hell on earth, they ain't going like that either. But then it'll be too late. But you hear a lot of them. I heard it today on television. I heard a preacher talking about, well, you know, if you was to happen to miss it when he comes for the church, you can still be saved during the tribulation period. That's what he said. That's what he was telling everybody on television.
See,
Well, he took the passage where it tells us that they will be some saved during the tribulation period. But he was acting like it could be just anybody. But that scripture has nothing to do with you and I. It has nothing to do with any Gentile. What that scripture is talking about is 144,000 that will be saved during that time of the Jewish nation that will help Jesus rule during his thousand-year millennial reign here on this earth.
What's
that other religion? They go going. Huh? The religion came the first. I don't know. Evidently, I haven't heard it. But there are several churches out there that do teach it. Well, that's the, I know, I'll think of it directly. They go from door to door. Yeah, there you go.
You teach me about that.
Yeah. Jehovah's Witness, they speak about 144,000 going to be saved, but they don't save the Jews either. That's just 144,000 more that can be saved. But it's not, has nothing to do with the Gentile people. When the Lord comes for his church, the church age for the Gentile people is over. It's done. Finished. Let me tell you something. At my age, if the good Lord gives me a couple more years to go, which is all I've asked him for, all I've asked him for was a couple of years to get the work done that he put me here to do, and that is to build this church. And to get it going as it should be going with the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, a lot of other things being taught today by the churches that's going to cause thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of people to be lost because of a lie that they're teaching. And that lie is that you don't need the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And then there's another one telling you that at the same time that you are baptized in water, you automatically right then receive the Holy Spirit. It can happen that way, but it don't happen that way very often. In my years, only know of one. I've seen it happen one time. Now, it may be just hours later. It may be a few days, it can be a few weeks or a few months, and it can be several years. Now, there is another pastor on TV that's a good man. But from the time that he gave his life to the Lord Jesus Christ and was baptized in water, it was 20 years later before he received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because he was like a lot of us. He was raised where he wasn't taught anything about the Holy Spirit. I was raised as a child in a Baptist church. Oh, and that preacher would preach fire and brimstone. But taught nothing about the Holy Spirit.
I did.
That's right. Well, now you see, there though, that's the thing. God works with different people in different ways. Now you can be one that is actually baptized by the Holy Spirit before you're baptized in water. You find that in the book of Acts. But everything has to be right. You can't be living in sin. You just haven't been baptized yet. Because that one group that they were preaching to there at that church, 3,000 accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and 3,000 was baptized in the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues and all. But then what was they asked? You know, the apostle asked, who can refuse water that these can be baptized in Jesus' name? Now, most of the churches here in this area baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Wrong. You're to be baptized in Jesus' name. You're to put him on. That's what baptism's all about. You're being buried with him. You're being raised in his resurrection. Think about that. But yet, most of our churches today has turned that around backwards, causing their people to walk down the wrong pathway, and they actually believe they've got heaven made their home. But you know, when you go to the Gospel of John, the 3rd chapter, it tells us there what has to be in order for you to enter the kingdom of God. Well, let me tell you something. You sure won't find it by living that way. Let's just take a look at it. So, the Gospel of John, 3rd chapter. Where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. So let's start here with verse 3. Well, let's start with verse 2. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. That's the only way we'll be able to get there. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There's another verse right there that our churches are using wrong and backwards. They're telling you that verse is saying that you've already been born of the water because you was born of a woman. And while you was in the womb, you was in water. That's true. That's true. There's water in that room.
That's the important issue.
But that's not what he's talking about here. But that's the way they're putting it. So then all he needs to be born again, is the Holy Spirit. So you don't even have to be baptized. No. You see, that don't work. Now in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You see, he's telling you, when you're born by the flesh, that's just flesh. You've got to have that spiritual birth. You can't have that until you've been to the Lord Jesus Christ and been forgiven for your sins and been baptized in his name. We found that in the second chapter of the book of Acts. When Peter came out of the upper room filled with the Holy Spirit, preached one of the greatest sermons recorded in the Bible. And when he was finished, they asked him, what must we do? He gave him the plan of salvation, which was meant for you and I. Repent and be baptized in Jesus' name, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He laid it all out. Man wants his own way. Let's do it my way. Don't matter what God says. Let's do it my way. No, that'll never work. Never has, never will. 7, marvel not that I said unto ye, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? We got a lot of them today rejecting it because they are agreeing with Nicodemus. So Nicodemus couldn't understand it. But listen to what Jesus answered him. Jesus answered and said unto him, are thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? But how can you or I or anyone know these things unless we have the knowledge of God's word? We must be educated and grounded and walking in the word of Almighty God. Just reading his word don't get it for us. We have to take that word, bring it into our lives, and we have to live that word. That's another reason we cannot let no one or anything come between us and God. Because when we do, no need of us asking God for nothing. Until we repent of that. But he will not keep forgiving you sins that you commit knowing they are sins and that they're wrong. Oh, now my church tells you, you can just commit that same old sin over and over and over and he'll just keep forgiving you. No, he won't. But we'll get into that here in just a minute. Now, verse 11, verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now he goes on then talking and telling us about that. But let's get back to this sin that they're telling you you can just keep doing over and over and over. Do you want to go with me now? Go with me over here now to Hebrews chapter 10. Now, they tell you there's none perfect. Do you know that that is a stage you have to reach while you're here on this earth? Oh, you can't do that. No, you can't be perfect. Well, let's just see what the Word of God tells us. In chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers unto perfect. You see, that's what was wrong with the law. Because they didn't have the Holy Spirit. They were all on their own. On our own, we're nothing. Without the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, we are nothing. And we can't do those things. Now, and he's warning us there, down to perfect. The law couldn't make you perfect. That's why the Lord came. Verse 2 says, for then would they not have ceased to be offered once that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more consciousness sins. And it goes on to tell why the law couldn't do it, and that was because of the blood of bulls and goats and things that couldn't take away our sins. Only the Lord could. Now, let's drop down to verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. How many times? Once. And every priest standing daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting to his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He done what? When you become that born-again child of God, you have reached a spiritual perfection. Now, we come on over here to verse 20, 25, to come down to what I really brought you here for. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. I know that what I'm wanting to do now is sin. I have found that out. And so I know that that's sin. There remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. There is no more. But it goes on to tell us what we can look forward to. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more punishment suppose ye shall be so worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. We're told all about it. But we have. And you see, that's why we need the church so greatly. Because in verse 31 tells us why. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We shouldn't be fearing what man is going to do to us out here. We need to be fearing what God's going to do if we don't walk with him. Because you see, that Holy Spirit is what brings us healing. It brings us help. It brings us power to do what God calls each one of us to do. And when you become a born-again child of God, it don't matter who you are, where you come from, God has got a job for you right then. Now you'll need to find out what it is, but then you start walking in it. And you stay with it unless or until he moves you. As I've told all of you before, my first years in the ministry was as an evangelist, going from church to church, preaching this word, been laughed at, ridiculed, rejected many, many times. No telling how many times I've been wished to be dead without even knowing it. The preacher won the revival, and I know there was one woman in that group that day that was sitting back there wishing I was somewhere else. But she sure didn't want me where I was at. That was up there preaching. Found out later why. I happened to be teaching that day from the 10th chapter of Hebrews. After services was over, I was talking to one of the deacons outside. He said, Pastor, you was kind of rough on our pastor day, wasn't you? And I told him, I said, I don't know, was I? He said, you just preached against everything he preaches for. That woman come out and she walked by. I asked him, I said, who's that lady there? He said, that's the pastor's wife. I knew then why she was wishing I was somewhere else. The priest in a lot of churches I was never invited back to. Not even for the next night. Because I wouldn't back off of this word. And I still won't back off of this word. Now, when you are truly a born-again child of God, you will speak in tongues. I'm going to share this with you. If you've never spoken tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. Because that is one thing that will happen to you. Once you receive that Holy Spirit, if you're by yourself, you'll speak in tongues. I was by myself. I was building a church out of a house, and I had taken all of the petitions out of it. I was building the platform. And the only ones coming to the church was kids. I had every kid in that community come to church. Not one adult. Because the adults kept telling me, oh, we go to church at meets at 7 o'clock on Sunday morning. Well, I found out where their church was. It was just across the street from where I was building the church. It was a beer joint. They were spending Saturday nights over there. Do you know? I was kind of down because I had nothing but the kids. But I love kids. And they was learning. And I knelt down. I was over there working one day, and I knelt down beside the platform. I was praying, and I asked God, I said, Lord, is this all I'm going to have here with the children? Can't we have some adults? Lord, I need help. I turn around and sit down. And I was still praying. I went to say one word, there was another word come out. I didn't know the word. And I went to say another word. There was a different one come out. I didn't know that one either. So I was going to quit. The harder I tried to quit praying, the harder I prayed. Prayed there for a little while. Finally stopped. I went to say a word out loud just to see what was going on. But like I said, I didn't know too awful much about the Holy Spirit either at the time. I'd heard of it, and I had read about it. There's still a lot I didn't know. But there was a different word come out than what I was going to say, but it was in English. So, the next word was a different word. And it just went to pouring out from me. One of the most beautiful poems you've ever heard. God came and spoke through me. I never could make two words rhyme. And yet he gave me one of the most beautiful poems I'd ever heard. And there was a weight lifted up off of me. I didn't have that weight anymore. When I got ready to leave that church, I had adults in that church then. There was another church wanting to come in and take over when I left. And they were teaching the Bible. They weren't teaching denomination. They were teaching Bible. And to this day, right outside of Newport Richey, Florida, go down there, and you'll still find that church. I told them they could have that church as long as they kept it a church. If they ever quit having church there, they'd probably come back to me. I speak in tongues, yes. I don't speak in tongues in church. Because it tells me when you do, you have to have an interpreter. Well, so far he ain't gave me that gift. I use it just for me and him. Now, there are two different types of tongues. One is a different language. That was the first that was given there in the upper room. When they were speaking in tongues, it was different languages. There were 17 different languages present that day. And every one of them heard what was being said in their own language. You see, it wasn't just a gift. The tongues was also a gift of hearing. It was a gift to them also that day. But you know, that's when the apostles received the Holy Spirit of God. They didn't have the indwelling baptism of the Holy Spirit until the day of Pentecost. Before, the Lord had just been sharing the Holy Spirit with them. When he'd send them out to do something, he'd give it to them long enough for that. But they wasn't baptized with it. They wasn't filled with it until the day of Pentecost. But we all need that baptism of the Holy Spirit. We all need each other. We need the church. And as I said before, we are to be a family. So we actually belong, while we're here on this earth, to three families. We belong to our blood family. We belong to our church family. And we belong to the family of Almighty God. But we are to walk mainly in his family. And when we walk in his family, that means that we are at church. We are in his word. We study his word. And we go to church to find out, to make sure that what we have studied and all is truth. And he lets us know. Now, some of you wasn't here when I shared this once before, and Kenny has heard it. Don't just get your Bible, sit down with everything going on around you. Get somewhere where it's quiet. And when you go to reading it, pray before you read it. And then read it slowly and read it out loud. While you do that, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. He'll open up that word. That's something I learned from my trip in the hospital. That was one of the things that God gave me. You see, he had a reason for me being in the hospital. I have found out most of it. I ain't got it all yet, but I have found out most of it. This time, when I went, they got me in my room upstairs. The first doctor that come in to see me, Dr. Molesta, fine doctor. I'm pretty sure he was a Jewish doctor. The Spirit spoke to me and told me, said, tell him that God's working with him. I looked at him and I said, Doc, God's working with you. He turned around and looked at me kind of odd. Spirit spoke to me and told me, he says, and he knows it. And I told him, I said, Doc, you know it too, don't you? You know he's working with you. He looked at me and he said, yes, I do. I told him, I said, you know, he's also got another job for you. Made quite a talk. I had a different doctor every day, for 2 weeks. Most of them wouldn't even talk to you. Had one just walk upside my bed, looked at me, said, "I'm doctor," and he gave me his name, never said, "Hello, how you feel?" Nothing, just turned around and walked out. Never did see him again. But I've also talked to several of the nurses. They have got our brochure. They wanted it. I gave them one. So they could call in. And I let them know how they could get in and even be able to get back services. The nursing staff, I could not have asked for better nowhere than what they were. But the doctors, there was a lot to be desired there. But the Lord let me know I wasn't there just for myself. I was also there to meet others. Well, I wasn't going to go to the hospital. I'd made up my mind that the Lord was either going to heal me or take me home. And he told me, he said, "No, you go." So I went. Yeah. Again, while I was there, that 2 weeks, I read the 4 Gospels and the New Testament through again in that 2 weeks, besides the time I spent talking to others about the Lord Jesus Christ in my times in prayer. That's why we don't have to walk in fear. Only fear of knowing what Jesus can do to us if we don't walk in the Spirit and walk in this Word. Now, I had left off this morning. I was in Romans 8. And I left off there at verse 31. But we're going to pick up here with verse 32. It says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, now shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" We're being told there that once we are that child of the living God, God will give us all things. Everything we actually need. Mankind today, though, is missing out on so much blessings because they will not obey God's word. Verse 33. "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth." 34. "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." And I am one that can testify and witness to the effect that he does intercede for us. Because I walked that valley in the shadow of death. I stood before the throne. I heard my Savior intercede for me. I couldn't understand anything he said, because he was talking in their language. And you see, that is the other language that he gives to some here on this earth. He gives us for the tongue language, the language of OC, the language of God and the angels. You won't know anything that's said until He, the Holy Spirit, then will come and reveal what has been said to you. When it's been said in that language. And that's the language God gave me. It wasn't another language. It was His. I've been so blessed in my lifetime. And I love Him so deeply and so much. And that's why I will not deviate from His word. And I will never deny Him. You see, man may take my life because of it, but the Lord will take my spirit, and I'll go right on living. I know that I'm in the hands of Almighty God. Now, 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Oh boy, list this next verse. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That's what the world thinks of us. And wanting to give us exactly what we just read. And bring all of that against you. Because you see, Satan, he is the prince of darkness. He rules darkness. But the one that rules our lives, or should be ruling our lives. And if he is the light. And he has given us the light. And he has also made us a light to shine out to the world around each and every one of us. That's why we are to share that light with others. Now, we don't give the increase. We may think we do. It won't be long you find out. No. Can he come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ under my ministry? Others will say, see, Katie brought him to the Lord Jesus. No, I didn't. I was just doing, opening my mouth and letting the Holy Spirit do the talking and the Lord Jesus Christ giving the increase. He's not here because I had any power over his life. He's here because of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now, 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Uh-oh. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. If you are a born-again child of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, there is nothing that can take you out of his hands. Now, you know, we can go back now to 1 John. I'm going to close with this. We've known them before, but this is a reminder. Of what born again of God does. He tells us, starting here with verse 6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. I thought you'd just keep on committing them old sins. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. You got sin, you've never seen him and you don't know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sins from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now we're coming down to it. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For his seed, the Holy Spirit, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. Now, are you born of God? But you still got some sin in your life. You ain't born of God. That's his word, not mine, but his. So we need to all stay right with God. And I'm going to close with that. And just remember, we can all be together again come Sunday morning, back into God's Word.
Thursday night.
I was kind of skipping there, wasn't I? No, Thursday night. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for a place and a time that we can come together to share your word, that we can love each other, be there to give support, and to keep each other in prayer, helping, Father, each other with the needs that we have. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them. We know they have very little peace now. In this land of ours, Father, it's turned its back and walked so far away from the Lord Jesus Christ, from your word, Father. Help us. Help us, Father, to spread your gospel throughout this land. And we pray, Father, for this land to repent of the evil it has brought upon its own people and turn its evil ways back unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, so that our land can be healed and put back upon the foundation in which our government was founded, and that being upon your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, to our prayer list tonight, as each name is called, Father, we pray and ask that the Holy Spirit will touch each one of them to fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Dennis Breeden, Terry Coates, Millie Johnson, Bobby Johnson, all of our families, Father, our children, grandchildren, cousins, all of our families, those that are walking in darkness, may the Holy Spirit be able to touch them and to guide them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ so that none be lost. And Father, for Kenny, for Millie that has lost loved ones, give them comfort and give them peace, Father. Now, Father, Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom's young son Jacob, Dennis Breeden, his wife Tina, brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Pastor Randy Johnson, Church of God of Brandenburg, the Meade County General Baptist Church, and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, that little Church of God, Full Gospel Church of God there at Akron, Father. These churches, not only lighthouses, but make them places of refuge, Father, to where the lost can go that's walking in darkness and find light, that light being Jesus. Father, these churches need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. These pastors, Father, fill them to overflowing with thy Holy Spirit so that they all will not teach things contrary to thy word, but will be teaching thy word as it is written, Father, standing strong upon it and having the Holy Spirit to work in their churches, Father, to bring the power of the Lord into the church so that all, Father, can hear the word, hear the gospel that they should hear, to have a chance, Father, of making heaven their home. Now, Father, my three friends overseas, they're in Pakistan, Maroon Islam, Barak Mishai, Zephyrin Iron. Keep them safe, keep them in health, Father, and keep them filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Father, Jim Emery, Sharon Mombello, Sue and David, Palance Goodman, Kelly Smith and his wife, Karen, Father, these all stand in need of a healing touch. Some physical healing and some spiritual healing. May the Holy Spirit touch each and every one of them, bringing about your will and your way in all of these lives, Father. Put them into a church to where they can hear your word, not man's way, but yours. And Father, this prayer is made tonight in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. Huh? Randy. Yeah, he still lives out there. He's going to what? I'm not hearing you, hon. He needs to go to Hazard.